He's done with it. Right, that much. Please turn with me then to Psalm 110. We'll note that this is a psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, ride in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head. As we look at this psalm, the first thing I want us to note is that it is a psalm of David. We have that in the superscription, which is in the original Hebrew. All the superscriptions are. But it's confirmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who quoted from this psalm and said it was by David. So that further confirms things here. The second thing is this. This is, if I remember correctly, the most quoted psalm in all of the New Testament. It is quoted by Jesus himself when confounding the scribes and Pharisees. When he asked them, who do you think the Messiah is? And how can he be the son of David if David calls him Lord? For he says here, and then he begins quoting, Jehovah said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, the Pharisees were not wrong in a way in thinking that Messiah must be a son of David. But they were wrong in thinking that this was a mere creature. For how could he be greater than his forefather David? The fact is that this psalm was and does and always shall point to the Lord Jesus Christ in two of his mediatorial offices, which the author of the book of Hebrews extensively shows. Through the last two-thirds of that letter, the author of Hebrews, whether it be Paul or someone else, the author of the letter to the Hebrews spends a lot of time with this psalm, showing that, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is Zion's King and Head, and who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as well that he is superior to Moses. He is superior to angels, and in particular, he is superior to Aaron and the whole priestly system of the Old Testament. He fulfills it, and he is the true and final mediatorial high priest. Now, how can that be, since, of course, he is not of the tribe of Levi, he is not of the family of Aaron, he is not the oldest of the oldest of the oldest of the oldest of the oldest sons of Aaron. No, he is from the tribe of Judah. Well, it is because, as the author to the Hebrew points out, we read here in verse 4, Jehovah has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And the author of Hebrews spends a lot of time talking about Jesus' forever ministry in this way. He is king and priest in Zion. He is king and priest over all the world in his mediatorial role. So it is because of this that this is an very clearly messianic psalm. All of them are to some degree or another, but this is probably about the most glaringly so because of all the exposition of it in the New Testament. But herein we see the Lord Jesus reign over all things. He reigns over and protects his church. He reigns over and destroys his enemies. That's a quick synopsis of it all. As a matter of fact, the New King James translators and editors have their own little topic header there that calls it the announcement of the Messiah's reign. And so he rules as God's mediator over all the nations of the world. We see that here in verses 5 through 7, where he destroys them that will not meet up with him, that will not yield to him. In that, of course, it goes along perfectly well with Psalm 2, that talks about his mediatorial kingship. He as God's son, the one specially set aside as the mediator, he is the one who rules over and to whom all must yield. We see that here again in Psalm 110. There's not a lot here to be mentioned otherwise that we don't know already. But let's be clear when we sing this, that it's something that is so very clear to us now because we have Jesus in person now. It wasn't so clear to people in Old Testament days. They knew that it was speaking of coming Messiah, but they didn't know the details we know now. And this is just yet another example of how the Psalms are not something that are inadequate for the New Testament. They only have their full adequacy in the New Testament. People didn't quite understand them in the Old Testament. They come into their full meaning and usefulness here in this New Testament day. So as we sing it, let's count this a privilege that we have the full knowledge of this, that we see one who is reigning, not who will reign, and who is ruling, and who is protecting his people, who is controlling their enemies and will put them down at the right time. Let's sing all these things with a note of thankfulness, with a note of privilege, and with praise to our King and Priest. Psalm 110.